Time now for the five big questions.
Numero uno.
As teased, should the Texans consider trading for Le'Veon Bell? Daniel Jeremiah says yes. Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network also put the Texans as one of the five teams he thinks should consider making this move for Le'Veon Bell.
There's part of me that says, why bother until you figure out the offensive line? Except that you can make the offensive line look a whole hell of a lot better with one more additional offensive weapon. I'm not convinced that Bill O'Brien knows what to do with it. Just like, I feel like, should I give a gun to a toddler? I don't know. I doubt it, because only bad things will happen. It'll be misused. And sometimes that's how I feel with Le'Veon Bell. Like, Le'Veon Bell would be, hey, we finally got a fullback. No, Bill. He's an electric, dynamic running back. Yeah, but now we've got a fullback. That's what I feel they would do with Le'Veon Bell.
He's not going to play until you give him a contract, number one, so you're going to have to pay him a lot. Two, okay, is he going to be there the whole season? Is a suspension or an injury going to cut his season short? Because that has been a problem for him recently, and it's a different situation in Arizona than it is with the Texans regarding the offensive line, because the Texans have Deshaun Watson and the Cardinals do not. They have Josh Rosen. But look at what's happening to David Johnson in Arizona. I mean, that's one of the best running backs in the league in terms of talent, all-around ability, and he cannot do a damn thing there.
Yeah,
I feel like if you're going to bring in a guy like Le'Veon Bell, I don't think he's going to be able to have the same kind of success. You're not even going to be able to run the ball. Well, so I say no.
And the question is always, at what cost? You want to trade Le'Veon Bell for a fifth-round pick?
Of course.
Have at it. Or Paul, are you saying under no circumstances, because you don't want to pay that much money to a running back?
No, I mean,
whatever contract he wants.
I'd love to bring in Le'Veon Bell, but this offensive line, he's not going to be able to do anything behind it.
Well, that's the thing. I think the offensive line makes a running back better. Usually it goes in that direction. But I do think there are times when a running back makes an offensive line look better. Arian did that. And I think Le'Veon Bell is one of those players. Here's where I'm at on this. I would think about doing it. Like, I hate to, on this team, trade for anybody right now who's not an offensive lineman or a cornerback, but I would think about it just from the standpoint that it gives Deshaun another weapon. Now, the big thing is this. Kind of like when the Rockets traded for Chris Paul with the understanding they'd sign him to some kind of contract this offseason.
Well,
if you trade,
technically, they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah,
yes.
If you trade for Le'Veon Bell, technically, you are not allowed to give him an extension until after the season. There's no way I'm trading for Le'Veon Bell and giving up valuable compensation unless I have a very quiet agreement on what kind of deal he's going to sign after this season ends.
Do you trust Le'Veon Bell in an arrangement like that?
I think that if you show him enough love, yes, I would.
Also, I mean, is your team good right now?
No.
So
of course
you
not.
Don't do this trade.
Okay.
If they were doing well, but there were some things that were left to be desired, they're 2-1 and the running game did not do what it did in week one and week two. Yeah, I think you're thinking about it very hard. But, I mean, you're 0-3.
You said they have to do something. This would be doing something.
I need an offensive lineman, man. I mean, that's all I care about right now. Find one.
The other thing is that, you know, one theory that people floated out there is that, like, okay, Le'Veon Bell is just going to take it right up until the trade deadline and then show up and play, because then instead of getting 400 touches this year, he'll get 200 touches and he'll look awesome, and then somebody will be willing to pay him. At that point, if you get up close to the trade deadline, are teams that are very much in contention, are they going to be more likely to say, wow, you take what we have right now and then you dump this kerosene on top of it, and it's really going to be an electric offense? I think that might happen.
One last thing. I'm all over the place on this one. Yeah, you're right. They do need to do something. You know what? I'm gonna flip my answer. I mean, you bring in Le'Veon Bell, does that give this team a shot in the arm? Does that change things for the way that they're going right now? I want Deontay Foreman back. I tweeted out I miss Deontay Foreman. I got like 200 likes on that tweet. I miss him so much.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? Screw it. Trade for him. Do something different.
But also, let's not... we got to move on from this. Look, you've got DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, and Deshaun Watson. Like, does Bill O'Brien not have enough playmakers to have an actual offense? Come on.
Touche.
Numero dos.
Number two, Astros won last night 4-3. Dallas Keuchel was fine. That's what I'll say. Like, he was fine. He wasn't bad. Five innings. He was good early. He got into some trouble. He got out of some trouble late. Give him credit. Can the Astros, playoffs will begin next Friday, can the Astros count on any starting pitcher not named Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole in the playoffs? I'm gonna say no.
Well, okay, a starting pitcher?
Yes.
I guess trust. I guess no. The problem is though that I trust the complete staff, and I almost want to pull a Bill O'Brien, just like when he used to say back to back. What did he say? Brian, back-to-back division champs, Brian.
Yes.
I just want to say, like, league-leading ERA, Brian. League-leading ERA. And I know that it's a lot of that's based on the work of the first half of the season. But I the very difficult answer I have to give you is no, I don't trust anybody except those two.
I don't trust Dallas Keuchel. Charlie Morton's not a starter for you in the playoffs. He's a guy that you're bringing out of the bullpen, if he is healthy, by the way. So I don't trust anyone
else. Is that the case? Who's starting game four?
What?
I honestly feel that you should be going a three-man rotation. Are you serious?
I think so,
Why would you go four?
Well, they did it in the playoffs last year the whole time.
Yeah. It was the whole time?
ALDS, ALCS,
I feel like the playoffs you go three, period.
Well, they went with four guys in each of the series. They went Verlander, Keuchel, Peacock, and then I forgot who started game four in Boston. I think it might have been Morton, and then they changed it up in the ALCS, but they went with four starting pitchers the whole time. They just kind of flip-flop back and forth in the series. I don't think they're going to go with Verlander game four, especially with the short rest. Now, they obviously got into some trouble last year when they brought Verlander into game four, coming in relief. That ended up poorly, except they came back and won that game in the series, obviously. My answer is no. Not that I'm pessimistic, but it's more, can you count on? I don't think when Keuchel or Morton starts, it's a guarantee it ends up well. That's my answer.
Número tres.
Here's Tillman Fertitta yesterday discussing the Rockets and the start of their season in a few weeks, really a month, given how bad the Texans have been so far.
Hopefully an exciting year again this year after our 65 wins and an almost Western Conference title with no hamstring injury. And we want to keep sports exciting in Houston. I know we're all in a little bit of a downer today, but hopefully the Rockets will brighten everybody up.
Do you buy into this notion that the Chronicle is writing about, that the Astros and Rockets are championship-style organizations? I know they have obviously won championship-style organizations, and the Texans are not.
I think that any team with James Harden is a championship-style organization. And as far as Daryl Morey, boy, like, let's look at if.
Something in the water?
Is Daryl Morey? Because really, the question becomes: is Daryl Morey a championship style GM more than anything? Basketball and football are so much different. Basketball, you could have made the argument that under the previous ownership, they weren't championship style because they just refused to tank. No, I'm not buying it. It's just too easy. It's too trite. And that's not saying any. It's not that I'm really saying anything complimentary about the way the Texans organization is run. It's just different sports, different everything.
What do you think?
I don't think that the Texans are a championship team at all. I do think the Rockets are. I know that they haven't won it yet, but I mean, they were right there. Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. They're beating the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and the Astros obviously are defending world champs.
But is the question team or organization?
Organization.
Yeah.
Organization.
The Rockets sometimes operate like a very small-time pop, a place that should be like mom-and-pop shop that's better suited for a college town, but I still think that they're a championship type of team based off of the performance that they had last year and a consistency that they've shown in the Western Conference that's been dominated by the Golden State Warriors over the last couple of years.
But I guess maybe, am I making too much of a distinction here? I mean, distinction between the organization and the team. But like, do the Rockets as an organization and the Astros as an organization have the infrastructure to create teams like they have right now versus like, are the Texans just incapable of producing a team like that because of their organization?
I think the issue with the Texans is they should act like they've won nothing. Because they've won nothing. The Astros can act like they've won something, they have. And the Rockets certainly act like they've won something, which they have, not really with a lot of people who were there at the time, obviously 94-95. But the Texans should act like they have accomplished basically nothing. Is that fair? Like
they have accomplished nothing.
They should walk around like we have accomplished nothing.
Bengals twice.
I don't think, what do you want to be, meek your whole life?
Meek, but not arrogance. Yeah. That's what I'll say.
No, I think that's more our, like, sometimes we as, like, media members have brush-ups against the organization that are different than, like, the actual, like, that's more of an interpersonal issue, I think.
Maybe.
I'm disagreeing with you two.
Number four.
Who are the three best teams in the AFC right now?
Kansas City, and Kansas City, because everyone else sucks. I honestly, this is one of the most disappointing seasons I can remember for the AFC. You really have to think long and hard, and I mean, I suppose that Pittsburgh can right the ship because their offense is so good. I suppose that New England could if Josh Gordon actually works out and Julian Edelman is good. But, I mean, we're talking right now about teams like the Ravens and Bengals as potentially being the number two team in the AFC. The Jaguars and Blake Bortles, man, I don't know what's going on there. You know, that offense without Leonard Fournette, I thought, was actually going to be better. They don't have Leonard Fournette against the Tennessee team. They should have won that game. Had they won that game, I'd feel a lot better about putting Jacksonville in that conversation. I'll say right now, Kansas City, and there are three teams with the potential to get in that category. But right now, I don't think anyone really deserves to be put up along in the same category with Kansas City.
I'd say this, that Pat Mahomes has been brilliant. The amount of offensive talent on that Kansas City Chiefs team is terrifying. They are certainly among the top three in the AFC. But we do also need to point out that they've allowed, I believe, the third most points in the NFL.
Their defense is horrible.
It's just an atrocity of a defense. Pat Mahomes in that offense is going to come back down to earth a little bit. At least a little bit. He's going to throw an interception at some point this season. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll have a Nick Foles type of year. The first time around. When yes. Nick Foles had like 25 touchdowns and two interceptions. But they're one of the best three right now. I'm not going to give up on the Jaguars just because they couldn't score a single touchdown versus the Titans. So just because of that defense, I would put the Jaguars there right now. And after that, I think by midseason, the Patriots will be one of the top three. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and say either the Bengals or the Ravens, and I'm going to go with the Ravens.
I'm going to go with Kansas City, Jacksonville, and Baltimore as my three best teams right now in the AFC. Kansas City, for obvious reasons, with their offense. Jacksonville, I am down on, but they did crush New England. And Baltimore, I think, has had a pretty steady start to the season. You could argue Cincinnati at 2-1, only loss being at Carolina. That's not a bad loss.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
I think we're in a weird spot because, you know, with New England and Pittsburgh, because going into the season, those two teams were clearly the two best teams. I think clearly the best in the AFC, and they've been spotty. And even, you know, Pittsburgh last night, I was convinced would win, but they were up 30-10 at the half, and they end up, whatever it was.
30-27, the final score.
30-27, the final score. I mean, they got lucky to get out of that game alive. They could have had no wins this morning, like Houston, except with the tie.
Number five
of the big questions this morning. The Rockets had media day yesterday, so we heard from Carmelo Anthony, James Harden, Chris Paul, D'Antoni, Daryl Morey, everybody. What is your excitement level for the Rockets this season? And I mean, like, the start of the season, let's say 1 to 10, your excitement level.
1 to 10, I'm going to say a 7.9. I get excited about the Rockets. I know that's supposedly I'm not supposed to get excited about the Rockets because the Golden State Warriors rule all and there's no hope for the future. But I think there is. I like the experiment that the Rockets are every single year. And last year you had the Chris Paul experiment, and this year you have the Carmelo Anthony experiment.
I'll say 4 for the start of the season because there's still the frustration of the Rockets took it to 7 games with Golden State, and you're going to have to wait all so much time just to get back to that point, if the Rockets can even get back to that point. But as the season progresses, especially with the potential for drama, disaster, soap opera things, I am pretty excited about that. 9 as far as the inter-locker room potential squabbles and such.
9?
Yes.
Interesting.
But only 9 for that one aspect of it. He's looking for potential. No, I don't want that drama. Is not fun at all to me. Like James Harden, Dwight Howard, pseudo drama, because there wasn't the drama was that there actually probably wasn't enough drama between those two. They never actually just butted heads and got it all out on the table. I don't want any of that in my life anymore.
It's mellow D'Antoni to me on this one.
I'm more of a 5 on this. The team is going to be somewhere between good and very good. I do think the West will be better than it was last season. LeBron, obviously. But you kind of feel like last year would have been the year to win a championship, and I'm just going to be waiting to see, can these guys stay healthy, especially Chris Paul, because that is the thing that lingers over the whole season to me.